Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're going to have company!
Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents time here on... Well, there's a lot of stations that we're here on. We're here on 540 AM in Waukesha, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. You're out in Madison on 1580 AM. That's WTTN, as well as Devil Radio 92.7. You can check us out on the Devil Radio app. You can check out the Waukesha stream or the Madison stream.
Yeah, you can choose which stream you want to listen along to, and you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Devil Radio 92.7 on Facebook and Twitter, and at WAUK Radio on Facebook and Twitter.
There's a lot of M's and W's when you're talking Waukesha, Madison, Madison, Waukesha, WTTN,
WAUK. Madison. Yeah, a lot of them.
A lot of M's, a lot of W's, a lot of that. There's a lot of things going on here in the state of Wisconsin. We do have a very special guest coming at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah,
at
2:30. Candidate. Yes, he is running for state senate in the 5th Senate District, Tom Palsowitz. So really excited. Tom will be joining us at 2:30, telling us about his campaign launch, which he announced today. So really excited to be bringing him on, talking about that race, because it kind of ties into a conversation we were having yesterday, Brian, with Dan Schaefer over at the Recombobulation area. The 5th Senate District is one of those Milwaukee suburbs we've been seeing some shifts, and there's been a lot of... some could say malfeasance, maybe some other words that you could use to describe it as well for what the Republicans are doing in that neck of the woods when it comes to drawing the legislative line. So excited that Tom will be joining us.
Either way, he's running into a situation where a lot of people are running out. So we'll talk to him about that. I'm excited because I haven't talked to him in a while, and I think he's a very reasonable person.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think we need more.
We need more, way more. Like, we need so many more reasonable people, Brian, because that's where we're going to start off today. We're going to talk about a really somewhat unreasonable, and some would maybe be able to ask, what's he still doing in his job? Because it doesn't seem like he's doing it correct. But we're going to kick off today's show with the headline, but also taking your calls and text, 844-967-2789. But Brian... Michael Gableman is back in the headlines.
Oh, good.
And it's not for being a competent, able body. What he is making headlines for. We're finding out, Brian, that he, in fact, regularly deletes emails that he doesn't see the importance to. So this is the headline over the Wisconsin State Journal.
That's fine. Yeah. Robin Voss does it all the time.
Well, and there is a caveat in public in open records laws here in the state of Wisconsin, the legislature does have a little bit of a caveat where they can delete those records. But for contractors like Gableman, not the case. So this is the headline over at the State Journal, Brian. Judge orders Michael Gableman to stop deleting records deemed, quote, irrelevant or useless. And that is Gableman and his attorneys that are labeling it that. Not the judge. The judge didn't refer to them as those terms. That was a term brought forth by Michael Gableman's team.
Great. So not only is he breaking the law, but also we're highlighting that the law is applied differently if you're in the state legislature. That's good. This is hitting two birds with one stone. You know what? Gableman, I think we're looking at this whole Gableman thing wrong. We're looking at it as, oh my God, what is going on? This is crazy. $11,000 a month. This guy is just completely bleeding his dry and all this stuff. But really what he's doing is exposing completely how far you can grift and just how far the rot has gone.
I think he's just showing how much contempt Robin Voss has for the people of Wisconsin. Robin Voss doesn't think that people are paying attention to this or that they care about it.
They don't.
And you've talked to people where you've interacted with them and you're like, bring it up and hey, what are your thoughts on this? And they're like, what are you talking about? And yeah, I would give you – not a whole lot of people are talking about it now, Brian, but there's a whole lot of time between now and November that these stories are going to continue to be circulating and being talked about because it's not going anywhere. Like, Michael Gableman is very much making himself in the headlines, and I get that Donald Trump was a very much we're going to flood the zone kind of guy, and it doesn't really matter what kind of nonsense I do. I'm going to get away with it because I'm just going to be sending it to you on all fronts, and that's very much the strategy, I think, that Gableman has taken, but I don't think it works for Gableman like it. I don't think it's going to work for Gableman and Voss like it did for Trump.
No, I don't think they're the kind of guys to pull it off. And
no, because my goodness. The question I am asking then, Brian, I guess, and I'd love to hear what the audience thinks, because really it comes down to this. Michael Gableman thinks that he's trying to quote unquote be some kind of. He's going to bring back integrity to Wisconsin's election. That's what his work is for. He is going through and being a trailblazer for restoring integrity to Wisconsin elections. And I guess the question I would have is, how many laws does Michael Gableman have to break for integrity to be restored to Wisconsin's elections? Because he seems to have no... He's a part of the party of law and order, Brian,
yeah.
Except when he doesn't want to follow the laws or the order.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works. Can't you see? I mean, Robin Voss can delete emails because they have a special stipulation in the law that lets them able to delete emails. But Gableman is not covered under that because, you know, you think someone who's a Supreme Court justice may have, I don't know, looked into the legality of your actions before you take them. But again, he's also represented by his own lawyers. James Bopp, who is quoted here. I want to read a quote, and I want to tell you about James Bopp because he's an Indiana lawyer. Why is Indiana lawyer James Bopp representing former Supreme Court Justice disgraced Michael Gableman?
Couldn't find anybody here in the state.
Well, he's got a little bit of a background. I don't know if you know this, but here's a quote from a letter that he wrote. If the document is irrelevant or useless to the investigation, the office deletes that document. In light of this standard procedure, the office routinely deletes documents and text messages that are not of use to the investigation. An irrelevant or useless document includes the documents that the office is not intending to further investigate and is not intending to rely upon for its recommendations or reports.
So it begs the question as well, Brian. If they find evidence that says no widespread voter fraud, but that completely contradicts the effort that they want to go out and find voter fraud, do you think they just take that evidence and delete it?
Oh, that's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant to the cause of them finding voter fraud, because if there was any exonerating evidence out there saying...
Can you see? They're the good guys, and they're trying... why would you even doubt that they're, you know...
Don't look at all this evidence like contradicting our investigation. We're deleting that. Don't look at it. It's not there. Nothing to see here.
Here's some more. Here's another quote from Bopp. The office is not a state agency subject to the retention law, as it is clear that the office is not a commission, board, department, or bureau of state government. Rather, is it an independent contractor contracted by the assembly to assist in the investigation of the 2020 election. As such, it is also not an officer for purposes of the public records retention law.
That's what they contend. That is what the attorney for Michael Gableman contends.
All of the authority that they're claiming is being given to them from the legislature. However, they are not under the, you know, umbrella of the legislature for this particular purpose.
No, we want the absolute authority to be able to subpoena witnesses to come and privately testify in the back of a liposuction clinic in Brookfield, but we are not going to have any beholden to, you know, other aspects
now,
of the authority we claim.
They haven't said, hey, I won't testify. They haven't said, hey, no. I'm going to plead the fifth. They just said, let's do it in public so everyone can know and everyone knows it's real.
Yeah. Yeah, that's essentially the Gableman and Voss and other Republicans around the state of Wisconsin have claimed that there are Democrats around the state that are the ones obstructing this investigation. This investigation's only going past all the contracts that Michael Gableman has signed because of obstruction from election officials around the state. And really, the obstruction is, hey, we don't believe you have the authority to make us privately sit for these subpoenas. We'll happily testify in front of a committee hearing, but we're not privately testifying. And that is the hang-up where they have spent, the Republican-led state assembly has spent at least $140,000 defending the legality of Michael Gableman's subpoenas, Brian. That's on top of the $676,000 that the Republican-led state assembly already authorized for this probe last June. We're already coming up to a year of this nonsense going on, and there are some reports, Brian, that the attorney's fees defending the legality of these subpoenas are upwards in the ballpark of $400,000 rather than $140,000.
Also, speaking of attorneys,
here we go.
Let's get back to his buddy James Bopp. He's got a little bit of a history here. Activities in Republican organizations, I'm reading from the Wikipedia page right now, became independent Indiana's Republican National Committee men on the National Republican National Committee, RNC's vice chairman. He was the lead sponsor of an RNC resolution that initially called on the Democratic Party to change its name to Democratic Socialist Party. That's a good one. During a 2010 RNC meeting, he was the chief sponsor of a resolution covering financial support of the candidates. The Purity Test resolution names 10 public policy positions that are important to the RNC and stipulated that public officials and candidates who disagree with three or more of the 10 positions would be ineligible for financial support or endorsement for the RNC. So he likes to, you know, exclude.
Yeah, he wants to set those bars pretty high.
He clashed with Michael Steele during Steele's term as chairman of the RNC. After Bob criticized Steele, Steele called Bob an idiot. And you know what? When Michael Steele calls you an idiot, that's great.
It is. That
activism against same-sex marriage and LGBT rights. Also attempts to overturn the 2020 presidential results.
Mm-hmm.
Bopp's lawsuit brought on behalf of a handful of voters in each of the four states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, and Wisconsin, sought to throw out more than 6.3 million votes across 18 counties and therefore made Trump the winner of those states and thus the election. 1 week after filing the lawsuits, he abruptly withdrew the suit and declined to explain why. He's a winner, folks.
That is the attorney representing Michael Gableman in court.
Yeah,
saying,
he also represented Gableman back in 2010 when he successfully represented Gableman in a case alleging he broke the Wisconsin Judicial Code of Conduct during his successful run for the state Supreme
Court. That's how they got connected.
Gotcha.
Well, we shared Gableman's side. We shared Gableman's side, but we're going to talk about what the Dane County judge ruled today in this Gableman case. But, folks, we are also taking your calls, 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian. We're going to be right back. But it must have been a wrong time. And I done said the right thing. But it must have used the wrong line.
Put your shades on, folks. It's one crazy summer out there. You're going to have a nice, beautiful summer afternoon until it's winter tomorrow.
Hey, it's a gorgeous 64 degrees here in Madison, Wisconsin. I am holding down the fort in the Solidarity Realty Studios on the near west side of Madison.
You're in a fort? You guys made a fort?
Yeah, I always cover it in blankets and stuff. It's literally the first thing I do every morning. I establish the pillow fort because Evan is like a party pooper and takes it down every night.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's his responsibility. That's the important thing. That's what Curtis said, is that you can't have the pillow fort unless you take it down every night, and that's part of his responsibility. That's the reason why we can have the pillow fort.
The fun part of setting it up, but yes, and then Evan has the responsibility to take it down. But folks,
he gets to live in a pre-made pillow fort, so that's pretty awesome.
Exactly. You are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, that's Brian. We are broadcasting on Devil Radio 92.7 FM here in Madison, as well as the Shaw 101 FM in Waukesha. And so, Brian, we gave a little bit of background about attorney James Bopp, who is representing Michael Gableman in these lawsuits, contending that they're deleting open records, the records that should be kept as a part of an open records request. If any member of the Wisconsin public wanted to go and access these records, because
maybe if they had some sort of mission statement or any sort of purpose at all, this may have been ironed out at the beginning of the whole investigation. But again, why would you want to do all the paperwork when you're starting out something of this import? You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. But so Gableman's team contends. I can't go back and change the past, Brian. They didn't set that stuff up when they started the review. So obviously, there's no doubt that they're not going to go back and do
if you
that
want
now.
If you want a couple billion dollars for your business that ships money to, you know, Taiwan, that's fine. If you want to, you know, get $11,000 a month, it doesn't really matter. We'll fill out the paperwork later. It's fine. That'll be fine. It's all good. But if you want to go and get some, you know, maybe some, I don't know, government benefits or some sort of unemployment or welfare or anything.
No,
of
those
that.
Are all
you
got to
pee in a cup.
Very, very.
You got
to
pee in a cup, and you better fill out some paperwork, and you better shape up your life, son. My goodness.
Yeah, exactly. And so that we got Gableman's angle on it now, Brian. But let's hear a little bit about what the other parties to this lawsuit believe. So, quote, if this investigation was above board, the Office of the Special Counsel would have maintained and released records of its work required by law, American Oversight Senior Advisor Melanie Sloan said in a statement. Instead, it's fighting tooth and nail to hide its work from the public. This inquiry is nothing more than an attempt to prop up conspiracy theories and undermine free and fair elections. In the October memo, which was it's almost like it's a Monday, but it's because the Bucks kept me up late last night, Brian. That's what it is.
Sure, blame the Bucks.
I need one more cup of coffee. I was up too late and up too early. In the October memo, which was prepared for then-Assembly Minority Leader Gordon Hintz, Democrat from Oshkosh, Legislative Council Deputy Director Dan Schmidt wrote that the state's public records law, quote, generally applies to records created or maintained by Gableman's office. So, I don't understand. If the memo came out last October, Brian, it should be pretty obvious that Gableman's probe shouldn't be regularly and routinely deleting any documents, whether they find them, what was the exact terminology? Whether they find them irrelevant or useless or not. It's not up to them to determine the usefulness or relevancy of these documents. If the documents are being prepared for the review, it needs to be included in the open records request for any of the work that Gableman's review is doing.
And honestly, in Gableman's defense,
shame on you.
That's pretty much, I mean, also, have you considered that Biden sucks?
Yes, because again, that's has
totally
any relevancy to this argument.
It's a legal argument. You know, we're just going to keep filing legal forms. And James Bopp is going to file some legal forms. He's going to say things like, but you don't understand. And see what had happened was, and we're not under the purview of the. It's like.
It's just yelling, nuh-uh, nuh-uh.
No,
that's
their argument.
Yeah, they don't feel like they're subject to open records law, Brian. That's what it comes down to. They're just like, we don't feel like that applies to us.
We don't feel like that applies to us.
And so they're decrying, saying that, it's the obstruction by the Democrats that are making this probe go longer, rather than the fact that they are just willingly deleting these emails and then trying to extend these court arguments showing that they're deleting these emails.
I feel like they really, really cared about, you know, the contents of people's emails back in 2016.
Brian, that's not relevant to this. So
no, no, no. I really feel like there was an email thing. Like, it seems like, I don't know. I feel like someone was saying something about emails.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails
from Gableman that have been deleted. for irrelevance or whatever, you know.
Russia, if you're listening, please find the Gableman emails.
Well, think about this. Let's say if you believe in any sort of oversight whatsoever, let's pretend that, like, you know, there was some sort of fraud, okay? And let's say they had some evidence and whatever, and these idiots decided in their infinite wisdom to delete it. Let's pretend that there was fraud and somebody actually gave them actual evidence and they just decided, it's irrelevant. Who cares? It doesn't matter. We'll just do it. Whatever. Those people are crazy. I thought it was irrelevant, so I deleted it or whatever. Wouldn't you, if you knew that there was fraud, if you knew that there was, you know, election fraud and that Trump could possibly win and these guys just deleted a random email like that, wouldn't you want to know that?
See, I might contend that Gableman's not deleting or not keeping these emails because any malfeasance. I think he's just really, really bad at his job, and that's really what it comes down to.
That's impossible. He could not possibly be bad at his job. He doesn't actually have a job or do anything.
I don't think he could be any worse at his job than he is right now, but we'll find out. Because
what exactly is his job? We haven't even defined that yet.
He's bound to be making more headlines as this thing continues, because he's supposed to be packing up shop next week. He's April 26th.
For what?
We don't know. But
What are the results of his... He made a report that it was all conjecture.
Not only is he going to have to be packing up his office on April 26th, Brian, he's allegedly supposed to be back in front of this judge as well next week to describe a little bit more about the deleted records.
Folks, I hope he doesn't harass any seniors, but on the other side, we're going to have our guest Tom Palzowitz.
Yes, we are.
Running for state senate.
And this is Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke. That's Brian. Excited to be joined by Tom. We're going to be right back.
It's the email. What? The email.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Brian. That's Luke over there. You're listening to us in two separate areas in the southern swath of Wisconsin. I'm over here in Waukesha. You're listening to us on 540 AM as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. Over in Madison, you're listening to us on 1580 AM. That's WTTN. As well as Devil Radio 92.7 FM. You can check us out on the Devil Radio app, and you can always call or text at 844-967-2789. But right now, I'm pretty pleased to announce we have a very special guest, a candidate announcing his candidacy for the 5th State Senate District.
Yeah, Tom Palzowitz.
How you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you guys?
Oh, glorious.
It's actually feeling like spring and everything, and it's almost it's yeah. Kind of like an entire mood shift once the weather starts to get really nice. It doesn't matter what's going on. It just feels better.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, it's ready, at least for me, it's ready to get back into it again. So,
well, your candidacy is like a wonderful flower blooming today. It's fantastic, because I lament reasonable and wonderful people running for office, and you are one of those, and I'm very happy to hear that you're running for state senate. But I got to ask you, everybody's running out of this, running out of politics. Why are you running in?
Yeah, that's a great question. We obviously ran for the 5th Congressional District on two cycles. And to me, that was something that I needed to do personally to move us in a direction away from what happened in 2016 with Trump. And, what's happened in the state of Wisconsin since then, especially since the last election, I just look around and go, we need to fight for democracy. We need to get back to government working. And right now, Madison just isn't. And I just see an opportunity here. You know, I've talked to a lot of different people. We worked really hard in this area before. And I just feel like this is a key Senate district that we have to have go Democratic. And this is an opportunity that I just can't sit on the sidelines for.
And that's fantastic to hear, Tom, because the last decade of maps were pretty difficult for Democrats. They weren't favorable. They were noted as some of the worst gerrymandered maps in the nation by several different studies. But the area that you're going to be running for, where this 5th Senate District is, it was one of the areas from those previously gerrymandered maps that was changing. We saw three assembly districts flip from red to blue in the previously gerrymandered maps. And had the 5th CD been up for election back in 2020, Joe Biden won that seat. And so it probably would have been likely carried by a Democrat. But now with the new maps that are going to be our state maps for the fall, now that the Wisconsin Supreme Court has selected the Republican gerrymandered maps, they've kind of shifted the progress that was seen in the previous 5th Senate District to be more of a toss-up than the almost lean Dem that it was trending in 2020. But you've ran and on the ballot in this area twice before. What kind of reaction do you think it's going to be from the voters that you're going to be trying to represent? What are they thinking about the current state of politics here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, and that's a really great question that we're going to be out talking to people. As far as I can tell, though, based on where things are at, people are just they're just not happy with the state of things in general. I know there's a lot of local officials who are very unhappy about having their ability to manage their local governments taken away. I know there's a lot of people who just they don't like this politics of just distraction, and there's just so much of that happening coming out of Washington and now definitely coming out of Madison that we just need people who want to go there and work towards solving the problems that we need to solve. And we know there's a lot of them, but we need the state government to work effectively. And that's why I want to go there, because I think I can help make that happen.
And I guess I want to follow up with that. You're going to go there and let's say you get elected, you're still going to be probably working from a minority position. Which means you're going to have to get, the other side to caucus with you. You're going to have to get them to talk to you and work with you on certain issues. What would your plan of attack be? How would that work out? Because in order to stay in that seat, should you be elected, you're going to have to deliver something, or at least deliver results. What's your plan of attack? Or at least can you reveal a little bit of it?
That's another great question, and I think that remains to be seen, because bipartisanship takes both sides. I know that I've been very successful throughout my career. I know that, throughout my career, I've been successful talking to all sorts of different kinds of people and figuring out what's the real issue we're trying to solve and then come up with bipartisan solutions. And for me personally, I don't care who gets the credit. I just want things to happen in a way that we can deliver the results that people are looking for in Wisconsin, better education, better roads, better schools, lower taxes, whatever we can make work is what we have to bring our heads together and figure out. But people love Wisconsin. And I was born and raised here, and I went off into the Navy, and I specifically came back to live here because I just don't think there's another place like it. But the Wisconsin I came back to in the late 80s is not the Wisconsin we have today. And, our park system needs help. Our local governments need help. Our roads need help. Our schools need help. And these are all the things that we have to get back to focusing on and work together, not divide people.
Yeah, division is an interesting thing, because you want to talk to the other side, and I feel sometimes like you're talking to a wall at times. It's very frustrating, but when I actually, at least as far as, the partisans that call into the show and, even certain politicians, but once you get them, in a personal relationship or in a personal one-on-one, they're reasonable people that just, have a different way of going about trying to get their lives together. There's very few evil people out there, I think. And my goodness, we need to come together and do something to stop that. I guess. So you're going to be, you're going to be taking over or running against, running for basically Dale Cahuenga's old seat. He's leaving, right? Am I correct?
That's a great question. Don't know. I think the governor's map that was initially passed had him carved out. This map still, as I understand, he still lives in the district. Haven't heard from him, but it's not about running against anybody. This is running for the seat, because this is too important to think about. We have to be against things, because it's hard to run a campaign that's against if we're trying to work with and for people.
Well, I heard Senator Cahuenga's retirement speech when they did have that final state Senate session day back in, I believe, the end of February, beginning of March. So I'm just going to yell right now, no takes backsies, and Senator Cahuenga's got to stay retired then. That's my
really point. Radical.
But yeah,
I'm not sure if that's definitely going to work, but we'll have to see what happens.
I'm throwing it out there. Maybe we'll see if it sticks or not. But I think that's an excellent point, Tom. The fact that you're not necessarily running against something, you are running for something. And so can you tell us a little bit more and share with the listeners what are some of the views that you are running for then?
Well, I think it really comes down to figuring out how do we start passing the things that help everybody in Wisconsin. I know the Medicaid expansion, I'm a big believer in legal marijuana. I think there's a whole bunch of different things that there's a whole bunch of states around us have decided that this makes sense, and they are common sense. And I think it's good to have some inclination and some votes on them. But I think the biggest thing is I personally believe that democracy is in danger right now. And we just, I don't think that we can have a state legislature that can decide to pass whatever law they want, knowing that they can veto, if the governor does get reelected, whatever the governor, or overturn any vetoes the governor would have. I think it's incredibly important that we have the branches be able to work together and not one branch be able to take over and do whatever they want. And I think we're seeing those results in Florida. We're seeing those results in Texas right now. And I don't think that's what the people of Wisconsin want.
Yeah, I think very few Wisconsinites, if you ask them, would be for complete takeover either party. We live in a 50-50 state. Every statewide election, top of the ballot, outside of, I believe, Senator Baldwin in the last 6 years, has come down to a percentage point or less. Evers won the state by, I believe, like 1.1% maybe. But both Donald Trump, when he won against Hillary Clinton in 2016, and when Joe Biden defeated Trump in 2020, these are some razor-thin statewide elections that are happening, but it seems like this is going to be a pretty close election too, because the math that I'm seeing that was reported out from J.R. Ross over at WisPolitics last fall, when some analysis was done about these Republican maps and the 5th Senate district specifically, the previous 2011 maps, Biden won the 5th district by almost 9,500 votes. But under these maps, had the 2020 election numbers take place this fall, if those are the similar trends that we see this fall, Senator Kuyenga would have or the Democrat running for this seat would have won by only 570 votes. So this is going to be kind of one of those bellwether Senate districts as well. What's your appeal to some of the 50-50 voters out there? Because we know Wisconsin's got a lot of them. We're a coin toss. And how are you appealing to people that maybe haven't voted Democrat in the past?
Yeah, a couple different ways. First off, my wife and I have lived here for 22 years. Our three kids went through the Elmbrook School District, the public school district, which is just fantastic. They run a great process of making sure they identify kids and get them what they need. And we've been here in this community for a long period of time. I'm also, I'm a small business owner, and I've worked with a whole bunch of other small business owners, and I understand business. And I think it's just a matter of having people who understand all the different components that go into our economy and our society. And for me, it's about fair. How do we create the fairest possible, elements so that people have a chance to be able to go do whatever they want to do. And I fundamentally feel like we don't have a very fair model right now. And I think that appeals to people. At least that's what I think. And we'll find out as we move along here. I just think we're in a very tenuous period for our society and our democracy. And I think it's time for people to decide, you know, are we going to have free and fair elections? And are we going to understand that these clerks, who are just absolutely wonderful and do a great job for us, are doing things the right way and counting every ballot. And these elections, just, they're not fraudulent. And they've been, you know, audited and picked over and over again. But we have one party that's decided to make that the main case as they go into the fall.
Now, Luke mentioned statewide elections, and he mentioned Tammy Baldwin. And we talked about her. She seems to be almost impervious to any sort of trend. There was 150,000 Walker Baldwin voters out there. They're out there. Mm-hmm. What is she doing that everybody else? I have my ideas, but I want to know if you've seen anything from your end that what is she doing differently? And I think it just, for me, I think it speaks along the lines of what you're doing as well.
Yeah, and I, you know, at least from what I've seen, and you've seen exactly the same thing, is Tammy loves Wisconsin. First and foremost, it's about Wisconsin. And then second is she treats people, every person she treats fair, and she's just Wisconsin nice. And I think that's the attitude and the conviction that people need to have as we're working through some very difficult issues sometimes, is understanding that there's not negative intent, like you said before. It's about people want to come to solutions. So let's work on them and then come to them. And sometimes you can't agree, and that happens. But I think having the conversations is what's most important. And I think that's what's missing right now from our state government, is we're not having the conversation.
Absolutely. And Tom, we only got about a minute here left in this break. Quickly, how can we, how can listeners go and support your candidacy for the 5th Senate District?
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's pretty simple. It's tomforwi.com. So TOMFORWI.com has all the information, has a place where you can go. We need our nomination papers signed, so we need some people to sign our nomination papers so we can get on the ballot. And then if you think you it would make sense, please donate to the campaign as we launch this. It's important we start off on a great footing.
Fantastic. So go check out tomforwi.com to learn more about Tom Palsewitz, candidate for the 5th Senate District here in Wisconsin, representing the Milwaukee suburbs of Brookfield, Tosa kind of area. Tom, really appreciate you joining us today. Come back soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tandy with Luke and Brian. I want to thank our most recent guest, Tom Palsewitz, candidate for the 5th. I had to double-check that because he was running for the 5th Senatorial District, but he also was running for the 5th Congressional District. Either way, it's the 5th. Either way, Tom Palsewitz is running. And I got
to
tell you,
it makes it nice and easy to remember then, though.
Yeah, I met him in person, spent some time with Tom. That guy is the real deal Holyfield, man. He's as real as it comes, and the guy seems he's impervious to guile. I mean, I'm sure he could probably pull off a nice bluff at the poker table, but dude's called to serve, not necessarily called to lead. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's a genuine.
That's the best distinction I can tell you.
He's a genuine guy. From all the interactions I've had with Tom, I've really appreciated the conversations, and I'm glad that he was able to join us today in announcing his race or his candidacy for the 5th Senate District. Excited to see sensible people step up to run, because like you noted, there's an exodus almost of representatives, both the state assembly and state senate. They're leaving, and so the Tom stepping up and saying, I've run for Congress before, but there's problems in Madison to fix as well, and I want to run and represent Wisconsinites and bring some sensible leadership back to the state Senate. That would be fantastic. Breath of fresh air.
One last thing is, I got to tell you, if you're listening to me, if you lean conservative, if you're not necessarily politically aligned with what Tom Palsewitz wants to do and or say, I guarantee you, if you approach him reasonably and he's your representative, he will listen to you and take what you have to say into account. If you're reasonable and talk to him reasonably, he's a reasonable guy. He's the kind of person that you want to represent you. In fact, if I were to find someone like him, and that person were to have Republican views, but I would maybe listen to me if I were to go and say, hey, but that's not necessarily a great idea from our side, I'd be down for that too. That's the kind of thing we need, functionality.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Let's see what Mark from the SAC has to say.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I think for some of our calls, you'd have to explain to them what guile actually means, because I think that word is probably beyond them. And I think
Mark, I had to look it up too. So let's not make fun of everybody.
Well, you're a younger guy than you know this, and you probably didn't grow up reading, increasing your word power in Reader's Digest like I did back as a kid back in the late 60s. So
Mark, I was force-fed Faulkner. I was force-fed Faulkner, my friend, and it was just bad.
But I mean,
I longed for wild.
What Democrats need to do, I think, is actually tell people, you know, what they want people to have in this state. They want people to have water out of their taps they can drink rather than the poisoned water. The Republicans seem hell-bent on making us drink, and they want women to have access to, you know, the full line of family planning methods, and which unfortunately has to include abortion. But I mean, no woman wants to actually have an abortion, which people don't seem to understand. But these guys want to cut birth control out as well. I mean, that's what the Republican Party platform will include. I mean, and make no mistakes, they don't want to have a party platform, and so they can run this stuff by people. As far as Gableman goes, sorry to jump subjects, everything that he produces should be, there should be a record maintained, because he is a contractor. He's not just working for the Republicans in, you know, of in Wisconsin. He's working for the entire state in doing his supposed audit of us.
He's got our money. He's got our money, Mark. And I want it
back.
I want to at least know what he's doing with it. Give
me a receipt.
Yeah, send me the detailed receipt. I want to know all the different items of what we're spending the money on. But we tend to jump from subject to subject here, Mark, so that is encouraged. But we appreciate your call. You can be like Mark. Give us a call, 844-967-2789.
In this case, he actually built a bridge to our next subject.
He did.
really quick, I want to tell you the American Bridge. American Bridge revealed Kevin Nicholson's personal investment in fake abortion clinics.
What? All right.
Let's read from the press release here. New reporting from the American Independent reveals Republican candidate for governor of Wisconsin, Kevin Nicholson's close personal ties with crisis pregnancy centers, fake health care clinics that lie to pregnant people to coerce them out of getting abortions. That's a long way to go and do that. But again,
Nicholson founded and ran No Better Friend, a tax-exempt organization whose, quote, advocacy emphasized referring pregnant people to these fake clinics.
Yay! While these fake clinics do not offer abortions, they often lie to patients and say they do, only to use bunk, quote, science, anti-abortion propaganda, and outright falsehoods to manipulate vulnerable people. By the way, Amy and I went to Planned Parenthood when we were first pregnant. And you know what they mentioned to us about abortion? Nothing.
Nothing. Huh?
Anyway, the vast majority of Wisconsin voters do not support overturning Roe v. Wade, and yet every single candidate in the Wisconsin gubernatorial primary, including Nicholson, would sign abortion bans and do just that.
Yeah.
That's great.
So that's great. Fake abortion clinics linked to Kevin Nicholson and his quote-unquote advocacy organization, No Better Friend.
It's just what I tell you. Never trust a guy who's walking so confidently through crowds. I mean, when your only skill is walking through crowds, you gotta highlight that. I get
just,
you, but
yeah, you gotta get it on all that B roll. It's all that B roll. But real quickly, before the end of the show here, we got another caller. We got Wisco Paul. Wisco, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I would like the whole GOP summed up in one man's name. He's the walking GOP. His name is Gableman. No accountability. Do whatever you want to do. Taxpayers' money means nothing. He's on my bill. So that's the whole GOP as a whole. Gableman, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, the whole thing reminds me of maybe like an oversized toddler who, you know, got himself a fake cash register and was playing store in the house. Because really, honestly, that's pretty much what he's doing. I do investigation. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, beep, boop.
Look at me. I am the Office of Special Counsel.
I beep, beep, beep. Shame on you. Now you pretend to be the lawyer. Okay, I'm James Bob. Beep, beep, boop, 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 boop. I'm James Bob. Deet, doot, deet, doot. Seriously, this is what they do.
It seems like they haven't taken any aspect of the fact that they
are in my daddy's suit. Yay!
They haven't taken any aspect of the fact that they are stewards of Wisconsin taxpayer funds. Seriously, Brian, they are going off on this. They claim that there is widespread evidence of voter fraud, yet
these emails are boring. Delete. Beep, beep, boop,
oh,
beep, boop.
This email found that, this exonerated. This shows there was no widespread fraud. Oh, delete.
Yep. It doesn't matter. I can't read anyway. Beep, boop, 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 bop. I mean, what would be the difference? Tell me.
I don't think I could tell you a difference between those two scenarios there, Brian.
You come to my clinic. No. You come to my clinic to get, or I'm going to arrest you. We're going to get the cops to arrest you.
That is Brian's summation of Michael Gableman.
What are we doing here?
I think we're going to rack up close to $1 million between the authorization for the probe and the covering of legal fees.
But I'm the one who's crazy. The one who's mean.
We're the ones that are bad stewards of the money. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, devilradio927.com. Click on the podcast.
I made a badge for myself. Look at me.
Dueling Tangents. Look at Brian. Folks, it is Thursday. You'll see you tomorrow for the Friday edition of Dueling Tangents at 2 p.m.